Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, December 5th, 2019. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Holiday Magic, Santa, Carolers, and Joy, Christmas Walk Brings Out Traditions, by the Herald and Review, Decatur. A longtime Decatur tradition, the downtown Christmas Walk, again brought its familiar charms to local businesses and Central Park on Wednesday. Santa entertained children at his house on South Water Street in the park. Businesses held open their doors for later-than-usual hours and special offerings. Carolers, musicians, and dancers entertained at various locations, and hot cocoa and cookies were available to help shoppers warm up. Oversized characters, including a gingerbread man and Olaf the snowman from Frozen, posed for pictures. Want more Christmas cheer? See more photos from this event, plus past holidays in the Decatur area, at herald-review.com. U.S. Government. Food stamp rules tighten. Work Standard may cut 688,000 recipients. By Juliet Linderman, Associated Press, Washington. Hundreds of thousands of Americans who rely on the federal food stamp program will lose their benefits under a new Trump administration rule that will tighten work requirements for recipients. The move by the administration is the latest in its attempt to scale back the social safety net for low-income Americans. It is the first of three proposed rules targeting the Supplemental Nutrition Program, known as SNAP, to be finalized. The program feeds more than 36 million people. The plan, announced Wednesday, will limit states from exempting work-eligible adults from having to maintain steady employment in order to receive benefits. The Agriculture Department estimates the change could save roughly $5.5 billion over 5 years and cut benefits for roughly 688,000 SNAP recipients. That's down from its original estimate that 750,000 people would lose benefits. Under current rules, work-eligible, able-bodied adults without dependents and between the ages of 18 and 49 can currently receive only 3 months of SNAP benefits in a 3-year period if they don't meet the 20-hour work requirement. But states with high unemployment rates or a demonstrable lack of sufficient jobs can waive those time limits. The new rule imposes stricter criteria states must meet in order to issue waivers. Under the plan, states can only issue waivers if a city or county has an unemployment rate of 6% or higher. The waivers will be good for 1 year and will require the governor to support the request. The final rule will be published in the Federal Register Thursday and go into effect in April. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said the rule will help move people from welfare to work. We want to encourage people by giving them a helping hand, but not an infinitely giving hand, he said. Congressional Democrats and advocates for the poor were quick to condemn the administration's actions. Senator Debbie Stabenow, Democrat of Michigan, said the plan will only serve to punish workers whose jobs are seasonal or unreliable. This administration is out of touch with families who are struggling to make ends meet by working seasonal jobs or part-time jobs with unreliable hours, said Stabenow, the top Democrat on the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. Education. New Milliken program aims to help prospective teachers. School set to offer Master of Arts in Teaching degree, by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Considered becoming a teacher, but not sure how to make classes work around your schedule? Milliken University may have an answer for you. The university announced on Wednesday a new Master of Arts in Teaching degree to be offered as soon as accrediting bodies have given approval. The hope is to begin classes in August 2020, though it might be delayed until the spring semester of 2021. Students may choose traditional day classes, evening classes, or a combination of both to accommodate their schedules. Milliken adds programs often, said President Patrick White. Why are we making a big deal out of this one? He said. Ask anyone in the field, why did you pursue this path? The answer is often, a teacher saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. The program comes at a time when districts across the state have grappled for years with a teacher shortage. The Illinois State Board of Education estimated there were more than 1,400 unfilled class positions at the start of the last school year. Regional Superintendent Matt Snyder said his office receives calls almost daily from people who want to know what they have to do to become a teacher, people who are already in other careers. Decatur is looking for teachers on a daily basis, said Decatur Public Schools Superintendent Paul Fregu. To those who graduate from this program, we'll be happy to employ you the next day. He's not alone. A statewide survey of school districts released in March by the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents found that 89% of respondents in central Illinois had trouble filling teaching positions with qualified candidates. Milliken works hand-in-hand with community organizations and agencies, said Provost Jeff Aper, and strives to fulfill educational and training needs expressed by those who live and work in the area. This event today, announcing this, exemplifies the quality and importance of those kinds of working relationships, Aper said. They reflect deeply held values of the importance of continuing to find a way to contribute to the quality of life in our community. Pamela Barnes, director of the School of Education, said the new degree will, she hopes, lead to other master's degrees in education fields, from specialties in areas like trauma-informed practices to music education. However, those are down the road. Milliken is rolling out a Master of Arts in Teaching for those who are interested in a possible career change, who graduated from Milliken or another institution with a bachelor's degree. And they live in our region, and they are very aware of the shortage of teachers, and they have had that calling. That's where they need to move to as far as their profession, she said. The most significant feature of the program may be its flexibility, she said. The program will take about 2 years to complete the educational and licensure requirements for early childhood or elementary education. One concern potential students have voiced to Barnes is that holding a master's degree will make them too expensive to hire, she said. But that is unfounded. A teacher with a master's degree does make more than one with a bachelor's, but the difference won't daunt most districts, which are looking for highly qualified teachers. The news conference was attended by Milliken students who are studying to be early childhood teachers. People don't realize how important preschool is, said Megan Toole of Clinton, a senior. Fellow senior Megan Garrison of Buffalo said it was her high school guidance counselor who believed in her and helped her see her talents lay in teaching. She ended up putting me into student teaching and thought I would make a really good teacher, Garrison said. After that, I developed a love of teaching and students and wanting to make a big impact. Both of them agreed that the moment they see a child's eyes light up with understanding after struggling with learning something new is the reason they want to teach. My mom's a first grade teacher in Clinton, Toole said. I've spent a lot of time in her classroom, and seeing kids get something that clicks is such a great feeling, watching them succeed throughout the year and knowing you'll probably have a forever impact on their life, even if they don't tell you. Cannabis in Illinois. Pritzker signs follow-up marijuana legislation by Jerry Nowicki, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. 1 month before the scheduled rollout of legalized marijuana in Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a follow-up bill to the initial reform Wednesday and took questions about the next phases of the implementation. It's new territory. We're seeing that in some of the cleanup that we're doing in this bill, said Senator Heather Steens, Democrat of Chicago, who sponsored the initial marijuana legalization measure. Steen said the bill clarified the public consumption of marijuana can be done in only a licensed dispensary or a retail tobacco shop. This will be allowed only if a local government authorizes it on the premises. They can only be in those two kinds of locations, she said. It also requires that individuals who have their records automatically expunged are notified when the process takes place. Medical cannabis patients aged 18 to 21 will now have full access to cannabis products, including combustible marijuana. The bill also clarifies a revolving door provision of the initial law by prohibiting future members of the General Assembly and their families from having a direct financial ownership interest in a cannabis business, until 2 years after that lawmaker leaves public office. She said the bill moves up to July from September, the earliest date municipalities and county governments can begin collecting taxes resulting from marijuana sales. Steen said while the follow-up measure referred to as a trailer bill was mainly about technical changes, more substantial changes could happen in the future. We did not want to go back and revisit policy at this point in time, she said. We know we may do that going forward, but we want to first get this up and running and see how it actually works. The lawmakers and stakeholders at the event emphasized that legalization is centered on racial equity and righting the wrongs of a decades-long war on drugs. Illinois' historic cannabis law puts social equity above all else, and the result will be a market unlike that in any state in the nation, one that rights the wrongs of the past by offering new opportunity to communities that have been torn apart, said Esther Franco Payne, executive director of Cabrini Green Legal Aid, where Pritzker signed the bill in Chicago. From ownership to jobs to expungement, disproportionately impacted communities will be revitalized when this law takes effect on January 1st, and as the industry flourishes in the years to come. Pritzker said the state will start accepting applications for new cannabis licenses, including from social equity applicants, on Tuesday, December 10th, through Thursday, January 2nd. Information about licensing is available via the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Pritzker said the phased rollout of cannabis legalization will provide for 75 new dispensary licenses in May, at which point more social equity applicants will have the opportunity to be part of the marijuana industry. He said the initial 30 licenses go to those already in the medical marijuana business that had been licensed in the previous administration. Pritzker said the bill was written this way to protect the medical marijuana industry, but it also limits minority participation in the first phase. We want the industry to be diverse, he said. We want black and brown people. We want people who've been left out and left behind to have a real opportunity to not only benefit from this new industry, but to create new millionaires in the black community, in the Latino community. That's the purpose of the phased rollout. Toy Hutchinson, a former state senator who helped craft the initial bill and has since been named senior advisor to the governor for cannabis control, said the phase-in is also designed to protect future market opportunities for those equity applicants to come on board. We've got to get this thing moving, she said. We've got to get the fees from the licensure to fund a revolving loan program so that we can seed equity to those applicants that we care so much about. And we've got to make sure that we reinvest. This is the first state to take specific dollars from the point of sale and reinvest in exactly those same communities. The original bill creates the Restore, Reinvest, and Renew program, which aims to address the impact of economic disinvestment, violence, and the historical overuse of the criminal justice system, according to the governor's office. Hutchinson also noted the bill requires future disparity and demand studies to inform future phases of the rollout and inform specific course corrections as legalization moves forward. The focus was never to get as much money as you possibly can, as fast as you can, she said. The focus has always been to create an equitable industry that looks different than anywhere else in the country. Harmon named audience director for Central Illinois Media Group by Lenore Sabota, Bloomington. Josh Harmon has been named audience director for the Central Illinois newspaper group for Lee Enterprises, which includes the Herald and Review. Harmon has worked in the newspaper industry for 25 years, including 15 in Champaign with the News Gazette. Most recently, he has been executive planning director for a group of Gatehouse newspapers in Central Florida. Prior to that, he was regional audience development and operations director for the River Valley Media Group in La Crosse, Wisconsin, for Lee Enterprises. I'm excited to be part of the teams in Central Illinois, said Harmon, who starts his job Monday. We have to be inventive and creative in today's market, he said. We put out a good product. Growing up in the market, the new position is like coming back home, said Harmon. His wife still has family in the Paxton area. Barry Winterland, general manager of Lee's Central Illinois Newspaper Group, said, "We're looking forward to having Josh join our team as we look to grow our standing print and digital audience in the markets we serve." Winterland said, "Currently, we reach 8 out of 10 adults over a 7-day period. The Central Illinois group also includes the Pantograph in Bloomington, the Journal-Gazette Times Courier in Mattoon-Charleston, and the Woodford County Journal in Eureka." Winterland also announced that Kat Cantrell, who has been interim audience director, will be circulation operations manager for Central Illinois. Woman Gets Lower Bond to Pay for Psychiatrist by Tony Reed. Decatur. A judge has dramatically lowered bond on a Decatur mother accused of gravely injuring her own 3-month-old baby so her attorney can pay for a psychiatrist to examine the woman as part of her defense. Laura A. Zekely, 30, has been free on $100,000 bond since March 2018. She has previously pleaded not guilty to 3 counts of committing aggravated battery to a child that caused permanent disability. Decatur police reports said Zekely inflicted injuries so severe her baby son suffered bleeding inside his skull and 2 broken bones in his left leg. Hearing the plea to lower bond Wednesday, Macon County Circuit Court Judge Thomas Griffith agreed with a request from defense counsel Tiffany Singer to reduce the total bond amount to $10,000. That means Zekely only has to have 10% of that, or $1,000, deposited with the court to meet her bond conditions. She had previously deposited $10,000 to meet the 10% down requirements of the $100,000 bond. And Sanger told Griffith they would now use some $4,000 of that cash to pay the fee of Champaign-based psychiatrist Dr. Lawrence Jekyll. "We're asking you to reduce her bond for the purpose of releasing it to pay for the services of an expert, which I believe is necessary for my client's defense," Sanger had told the judge. "And I believe it's in the interests of justice that her bond money go to pay for that, rather than having the county incur the expense." Griffith agreed that hiring a medical expert was important given the very serious offenses she is charged with, and it makes sense to the court, as the defendant is in need of an expert, to go ahead and use the excess bond money to pay for that expert, rather than having it, the money, just sit there and having the county incur the costs, the judge added. A sworn statement about the case from Detective James Ninnerum said Zekely had been arrested December 24, 2018, after the baby was admitted to Decatur Memorial Hospital. The case had been referred to the police by the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, which had become involved to protect the baby. Ninnerum quoted Zekely as saying she handled her son with way more force than she should have, and often explodes and loses her temper and needs help, in the words of Ninnerum. Public safety. Christmas comes early to some area firehouses. State's no-interest loan program allows new truck purchases. By Scott Perry. Sullivan. It has all the makings of a blue Christmas this year in the Sullivan Fire Protection District Firehouse. But unlike the sentiments shared in the popular holiday song, the feeling is quite jolly among Fire Chief Mike Piper and the firefighters there. That's because the department was among this year's recipients of a state loan that made possible the purchase of a new 3,000-gallon tanker truck. And yes, it is blue, just like the rest of the fire truck fleet in the firehouse, affectionately referred to as the House of Blues. The new truck, which arrived last week and has yet to go out on an emergency call, served as the backdrop for a news conference announcing the $9.3 million made available for the purchase of emergency vehicles across the state as part of the Fire Truck Revolving Loan and the Ambulance Revolving Loan programs. The no-interest loan programs are overseen by the Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office and the Illinois Finance Authority. Piper said the new truck will enhance the service the department provides to its sprawling rural district, much of which doesn't include access to fire hydrants. "In our rural area, where there is no fire hydrants, no water supply when we show up, we have to have enough water to initially knock the fire down and get it a little under control until we get a tanker shuttle set up, Piper said. This is going to allow us to have 3,000 gallons more water initially at our rural structure fires when we show up. Piper said because of the interest savings made possible through the loan, the department was able to equip the new truck with a pump that will provide immediate access to water and also enable it to be used to fight the fire if the situation warrants. Sullivan, which received $278,335, was one of six regional departments that received loans through the fire truck program. Other regional departments and the amounts they received are Dora Township, Dalton City, Fire Protection District, $275,000. Latham Fire Protection District, $350,000. Lexington Community Fire Protection District, $350,000. Moroa Fire Protection District, $250,000. Octavia Fire Protection District, $285,000. Fire departments throughout Illinois face financial stressors that can make it difficult to properly equip and train their firefighters, said State Fire Marshal Matt Perez. This new equipment will help them serve their communities in a safer, more efficient, and effective way. The loan program makes available up to $350,000 for fire trucks and $200,000 for ambulances, repayable over 20 years and 10 years, respectively. This is huge for volunteer fire departments, said Moroa Fire Chief Larry Peasley, noting this is the second time the department has taken advantage of the state program. This time around, his department bought a new pumper truck, replacing a truck purchased in 1987. That's a lot of money, said Bud Wilson, the Dora Township Secretary Treasurer, referring to the $11,000 that will be saved in interest during the first year of the loan. His department is replacing a pumper truck, which, because of its condition, has since been made part of a display at the Children's Museum of Illinois in Decatur. We were able to afford a truck. It was that serious, said Dan Hawk, a trustee with the Latham Department. He said the loan is being used to replace a 45-year-old pumper truck, which was the first new truck ever in Latham. If not for the loan, the department may have needed to delay the purchase or buy a used truck. He said the interest savings over the course of the loan will be in excess of $160,000. So it's that significant, he said, noting the savings can be put to better use, purchasing needed equipment for their firefighters. Agribusiness. GSI to close Flora facility, affecting 89 employees. State rep confirms closure, says jobs may move to Assumption. By Annalisa Trofimuk, Flora. Grain Systems, Inc. will close its facility in Flora on January 31st, affecting the jobs of 89 employees, according to the area state representative. State Representative Darren Bailey, Republican of Xenia, confirmed the closure in a statement on his website and said he was saddened to hear of the move. The business decision to consolidate operations and reduce costs is understandable, Bailey said, but I'm hopeful that all of these people will be able to keep their jobs in the consolidation at the Newton and Assumption, Illinois plants. GSI officials in the Flora and Assumption plants directed requests for comment to a company spokeswoman who could not be reached for an interview by deadline Wednesday evening. Speaking by phone Wednesday afternoon, Bailey said he was told by a company official from GSI that all 89 positions would be available at the Assumption location, about 85 miles from Flora. Flora is a city in Clay County, about 110 miles southeast of Decatur. It had a population of 5,070 in the 2010 census. GSI describes itself as the world's largest manufacturer of steel farm bins, commercial storage bins, and grain silos. Established in 1972, the company provides equipment and serves over 70 countries. The Herald and Review reported in 2011 that it employed about 2,000 people in central Illinois, with headquarters in Assumption and facilities also in Taylorville, Newton, Paris, and Flora. Bailey blamed the state's economic climate for the closure. This is what happens when the tax hikers in our state keep raising taxes and increasing fees on families and businesses. Lifestyle Health Fair Set by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Staying and getting healthy can be done in various ways. Organizers of the wellness company Body Life Transformation invited other businesses, organizations, and agencies to join them in letting others know how healthy living can be achieved. The Lifestyle and Health Fair will be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, December 7th, at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. The free event will feature various vendors, including the Alzheimer's Association, Merry Man Herbs, Zillies, Fleet Feet, Viewig Realty, and nearly 30 more. This gives a lot of small, health-related businesses a chance to distribute their products, said Bucky Slaw, co-organizer and Crossing Healthcare Fitness Director. Co-organizer Linda Strickland has one of those businesses. Harmoon Labs is a mobile service offering blood draws and laboratory specimen collection and testing. The service has a low cost to the patient, as well as minimizing wait times in doctors' offices and hospitals. The health fair has a few vendors with businesses designed for enjoyment as well, including Paparazzi Jewelry, Well-Being Massage, and Sisters Crafts. Samples of food and beverages will also be available. Visitors can take part in services and activities such as the massages, yoga, and exercise moves. To register as a vendor, the cost is $50. Strickland had planned to coordinate an event focused on health and well-being. "We have great, talented abilities that we're able to offer the community," she said. "We just thought we would ask everybody out there that wants to be a part of this." Strickland was able to convince Slaw to co-organize a bigger health fair. "For the first time, we were so excited," Slaw said about the fair. "We just threw something together and prayed." The fair was organized under the name Body Life Transformation, Slaw and Strickland's collaboration. The focus of the event will be to address the health of an individual in various stages, including aftercare. The duo also wanted to address lifestyle changes. "People just don't follow up," Strickland said about others and their health. "They will go initially to do things after they have a problem." If you go, Lifestyle and Health Fair, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, December 7th, at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel Kirkland Lobby. Free admission, $50 for vendors. On the web, Lifestyle and Health Fair 2019 Facebook page. HSHS St. Mary's Christmas Star set for lighting, Decatur. The HSHS St. Mary's Hospital Christmas Star will be lit during a ceremony at 6 p.m. Thursday, December 5th. The annual Christmas Star lighting ceremony includes reading names of community members' loved ones, accompanied by spiritual readings, prayers, and music by the First Christian Church Choir and local composer Michael Shearer. The ceremony will take place in the hospital lobby, 1800 East Lakeshore Drive. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, December 5th, 2019. Please stay tuned.